Welcome to Global One Media's Stocks to Watch. I'm Michael Suido. I'm speaking today with Luke Alexander. He's the CEO of Nucor Gold. He's the director of the company as well. Luke, welcome to Stocks to Watch.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you here today. Luke, your background is in investment banking. You've worked on equity trading desks. You've actually started up trading desks at two companies. Over the past 20 years or so, you've raised billions of dollars for major mining companies. Then about 4 years ago, your career took a bit of a switch. That's when you took the helm at Nucor Gold. So I'm curious, what attracted you to the company? Why make the switch from being a banker and consultant to top management at Nucor?
Yeah, Michael. So as you highlighted, first kind of 20 years of my career was on the investment banking side of the business. I was in London for about 12 years, advising different ASX, TSX, London-listed mining companies with projects around the world. A number of those companies had projects in Africa. That's where I got to know the bulk of the team here involved in Nucor Gold, a number of serial entrepreneurs in the mining sector who have advanced and sold companies over their careers. And I got approached about 4 years ago to join as CEO of the company on the back of a number of successes that that the group had had. When I looked at our project in Ghana, the Enchi project, it's a very simple open pit heap leachable project, very low capex to build, but importantly, it has district scale exploration, so huge exploration upside potential. And over the past 4 years, that's something we've been focused on, is focused on the exploration as well as de-risking the very simple project that I mentioned as well.
I like that phrase, district level room for expansion. That sounds quite exciting. I like that. So let's talk a bit more about that project you mentioned. Enchi is in the southwest of Ghana, not far from the border with Cote d'Ivoire. It's in a region which is known for gold. And I understand you've already completed more than 90,000 meters of drilling. What have you found so far?
Yeah, so we, in the last 4 years, have drilled about 95,000 meters. Historically, we've drilled about 110,000 meters. So the work that's been done in the last 4 years has almost doubled all the historical work done on the project. When you look at Ghana as a whole, about 200 million ounces have historically been discovered in Ghana. Along the Sefwi Bibiani belt, which is one of two prolific gold belts in the country, you've got mines like Chirano, which sits at 5.5 million ounces. Bibiani has a historical endowment of 6.5 million ounces. And then one of Newmont's two producing mines sits at 20 million ounces. At Nucor today, at our Enchi project, we've identified 740,000 ounces of indicated resource, plus an additional 970,000 ounces of inferred resource. So 1.7 million ounces total between those two categories. And we've to date only, or at least the resource sits only within 80 meters of the surface. So we've really been focused on that top kind of oxide transitional material, which is what will be used for our mine planning. But ultimately, we've started to see some very exciting deeper shoots that plunge on our project. And that's where you start to see some of the higher grade and real potential for expansion. So we can continue to explore across a number of targets on our project, but also the deeper opportunity, something we're excited about.
All right. So, I mean, I noticed that you mentioned a few very big companies that are also doing gold mining work in Ghana, not too far from your project. Most of the gold you say is near the surface, relatively speaking, but there is opportunity going down as well. And one thing you didn't mention is the aerial survey that you've done on the property. I believe you've identified 25 possible targets. And if I got my numbers right, you've only drilled in 9 of those so far. So it's possible that there's actually a lot more gold there than what we know about. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've run airborne geophysics across the property. It's a very large property. We have 248 square kilometers of land. We've, as you mentioned, identified 25 targets, of which we've drilled on 9 of them. And when you look at where the mineralization sits on our project, you get these shears, these second and third order shears going through our project. When you add up the total strike length of that shearing, you've got about 100 kilometers of strike length. So we've really just scratched the surface. As I mentioned, the mineralization that sits within our resource today is only down to an average depth of 80 meters. So obviously there's huge opportunity to expand deeper, as well as a long strike, as well as new targets that we haven't drilled to date. So lots of area to expand. And that's why we refer to it as a district scale exploration project, is because of all of that exploration upside that sits within the project.
So you've identified a lot of upside. What are the next steps, and how far do you expect to advance the project this year?
Yeah, so we obviously have huge exploration upside, but one of the great things about our project is we've got a buildable project today, and that's really the focus of the company, is de-risking the project towards a construction decision and ultimately putting it into production. The project that we've identified, we put out a preliminary economic assessment, or a PEA, in 2021. So that looked at what would this project look like if it were in production. And that PEA outlined very robust economics for the project. So at a 1850 gold price, you're looking at an after-tax NPV of $300 million. And an after-tax IRR of 54%, and a payback of just under 2 years. So those are very robust economics for a project. We're at the moment focused on updating that study. We did put out a larger resource in 2021, so we're incorporating that larger resource into an updated economic study, which we think will further support the construction decision and ultimately putting this project into production. So that will be out in the first half of this year, that study. We think that could be a major catalyst for the company. And then we're also continuing to de-risk a number of elements on the project. So metallurgy is something that that's important for any project. We completed an environmental and social baseline study. So there's a number of other work programs that we're focused on to ultimately move this project towards a construction decision. But beyond that, as we focus the first part of this interview on, we've got that huge exploration upside that we're excited about continuing to pursue as well.
What was the timeline for that construction decision?
So we'll complete the preliminary economic assessment. We'll then look at launching a PFS, which will take about a year. And then beyond that, we would do a feasibility study. So, you know, that construction decision would be in 2026.
I want to return to that economic assessment that you were talking about just a moment ago. When I was looking at your investor presentation, the base case assumes that gold is trading around $1,650 an ounce. Actually, right now, gold is trading much higher than that. Spot contracts are at record prices, currently north of $2,100. If gold stays at this level or rises even farther, as a number of analysts are predicting, what does this mean for the value of your business and of this project?
Yeah, so our Enchi project and the economic study that we outlined in 2021 that I mentioned we're updating at the moment, you've got very good leverage to the gold price. At a 1650 gold price, which was the base case we used in 2021, you're looking at an after-tax NPV of $212 million. At an $1,850 gold price, you're looking at an after-tax NPV of $300 million. So for every $200 move in the gold price, you're adding roughly $90 million of NPV. So if we went to $2,050, which would be another $200 move in the gold price and getting close to the $2,150 that you refer to, you'd be looking at an after-tax NPV of roughly $390 million. So great leverage to the gold price for investors. And obviously, you know, that would significantly reduce the payback period for the project and ultimately the cash flow that the project produces.
So I think you're looking at a payback period definitely of less than 2 years. And if gold prices keep rising, perhaps as little as a year and a half, and your internal rate of return somewhere north of 65%. Let's turn to the people behind Nucor Gold now. In your latest investor presentation, you argue that it's, quote, rare to find a board like Nucor's in the junior mining sector with people who have experience raising billions of dollars and turning startup companies into producers. Luke, I want to explore this with you a bit more closely. How similar are your team's past projects to Nucor's current business?
Yeah, it's a great question, Michael. So the team involved in Nucor has a long history in the mining sector, serial entrepreneurs who have been involved in a number of very successful companies. Newmarket Gold would be one that I would highlight. That's a company that Doug Forrester, our chairman, and Blaine Johnson, one of our lead directors, co-founded. That at the time was about a $10 million company. Vended a project in and sold it for about $1.4 billion a couple of years later. Calibre Mining would be another company that the team's been involved in. That was a project that was a similar size to Nucor today, was ultimately de-risking a project in Nicaragua, was able to vend in another project. And if you follow Calibre today, they've recently acquired a project in Canada and will become a 500,000 ounce gold producer and are well north of $1 billion market cap today. So the team has been involved in greenfield, so early stage exploration, have been involved in brownfield or more mature exploration, have built projects, have put mines into production, and have sold a number of companies that we've been involved in. So when we talk about a team that has a vast amount of experience, that's the kind of experience from early stage exploration all the way through to producing mines, which is something crucial for a company at our stage. And if you look at the backing that we have from an institutional shareholder perspective, as well as from the capital markets and the investment banking community, that's something that you can really see has attracted a number of those investors, is the fact that we have such a strong team, as well as a team that is extremely well aligned with shareholders. So if you look at board and management, we own 20% of Nucor Gold today, and that's money that we have invested alongside investors over the last number of years. So we truly are well aligned and think as shareholders first, ultimately.
Right. It's great to hear about those institutional investors and also to see that your team has skin in the game, so to speak. And like you say, that its interests are aligned with shareholders. We'll get to your share price in just a moment, but I want to explore your business in Ghana just a bit more. Ghana is Africa's largest gold producer. It mines more gold per square kilometer than the U.S. state of Nevada. I didn't know that today. That's an interesting fact. The country, though, is facing economic headwinds and political tensions are rising there ahead of national elections later this year. So I'm wondering, does this affect your business at all? What would you say is the biggest challenge for you of operating in Ghana?
Yeah, so as you highlighted, I mean, Ghana's a great jurisdiction to be producing gold. I mean, it's Africa's largest gold producer. It's the sixth largest gold producer globally. So with that, you've got a very well aligned government. I mean, it's important for taxes. It's important for the economy. It's important for jobs throughout the country. So from that perspective, you know, the government's very motivated to see projects like our Enchi project get into production because they recognize the economic benefit that there is for the country. What we always say, though, is, you know, ultimately, don't listen to me. I'm a single asset CEO with one project in Ghana. But look at what the major mining companies are doing. You've currently got three of the top 10 largest gold producers with significant operations in Ghana. You've got Newmont, which is the largest gold company on the planet. They're investing an additional $1 billion into Ghana. That will be their second largest gold producing project globally after the Nevada Gold Mine project. And of their tier one managed portfolio, it will represent about 23%. So again, you look at the largest gold company on the planet who can invest in any jurisdiction globally, and they're willing to have that kind of exposure, I think speaks for itself in terms of Ghana being a great jurisdiction to operate in. And I think that's ultimately also reflected in our institutional ownership, which I've touched on, but we're 45% institutionally owned. Again, these are investors that can invest in any jurisdiction on the planet, and they're keen to obviously see our project through to a production decision because they recognize Ghana as a great jurisdiction to be investing in.
So you've talked a lot about the opportunity. What about any challenges there for you?
Yeah, so challenges, I guess the broader challenge that we've seen as an industry over the last couple of years is that it's been a very tough industry for the junior exploration and development sector, as well as the senior gold producers. I mean, we've got the senior golds and mid-caps trading at multi-year lows from a valuation perspective. Despite gold being close to all-time highs, the equities have been depressed in terms of their valuations. So that has meant that it's been more challenging for junior exploration and development stage companies like ours to ultimately raise capital, and there hasn't been as much interest in the market. So that's probably been the main thing that has been something we've had to be conscious of. We're fortunate in the sense that we've got about $4 million in the bank today. So we're very well funded to ultimately complete all the work that we've outlined for 2024. Again, as a management team and board who own 20% of the company, we're very cost conscious. We want to move the project forward, de-risk it, but we ultimately want to make sure we've got lots of runway to run the company. But yes, the equity markets have been challenging for the entire sector.
So I think you actually jumped to my next question here, which is if you look at the share prices of other junior mining companies, a lot of them have definitely been struggling. But when you look at your company's share price, well, it's doubled since the beginning of the year. Gold prices have risen too, as you mentioned, but not nearly as sharply. So why do you think your stock is doing so well?
Well, I mean, I tell a lot of investors, and I was recently at the PDAC conference in Toronto, which is the largest conference on the planet. And I say, well, we've got another double, tripling or quadrupling to go from here. So yes, from multi-year lows, we've doubled over the last couple of months, but there's still tremendous upside opportunity from here. I think we have seen some appetite return to the sector. And I think one of the reasons we've seen Nucor start to move higher is the fact that despite a number of companies haven't been doing work over the last couple of years, because it's been a challenging market to raise money to fund that work, at Nucor, we've been able to continue advancing our project. We've been drilling over the last couple of years. We've been doing a tremendous amount of metallurgical test work on the project. We put out an updated resource last year, which I talked a little bit about in terms of growing the overall size of the ounces. And then that district scale exploration upside that we have, you know, as we start to see the market recover and appetite returning, I've always said that we see Nucor re-rating out of the gates a lot quicker, because all that work that we've been doing starts to get reflected in the share price. So yes, we've come off of multi-year lows, but I see a tremendous amount of upside from here, given all of the work that we continue to do on the project.
To be fair, as you acknowledge, Nucor Gold shares have seen their fair share of ups and downs. The stock has been volatile, but it's back within striking range of its 52-week high as of today's filming. Luke, tell us, going forward, why is Nucor Gold a stock to watch?
So Nucor Gold, again, Ghana is a tier one jurisdiction to be operating in. Very rare to find an asset of our size in a jurisdiction like Ghana. Management and board were truly aligned with shareholders through our 20% ownership in the business. Very well backed by institutional investors who are focused on the gold and mining sector with 45% institutional ownership. And today, Nucor is trading at about $10 per ounce in the ground. That's less than it costs to find gold ounces in Ghana. We're trading at less than 0.1 times the NPV of the project. So tremendous upside from that perspective as well. So those would be a couple of the things I'd focus on in terms of why Nucor is a company to look at today. And I'd encourage any of your viewers to visit our website, follow us on social media. We're always keen to engage with investors, so would encourage you to reach out, and we'll be happy to speak to you more about the merits of Nucor Gold.
I have to say, I was looking at your website earlier today, and it's definitely one of the best ones I've seen for a junior mining company. A lot of information there, very well laid out. So, Luke, thank you so much for chatting with us today. It's been great to learn about your project in Ghana.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael.
We've been speaking with Nucor Gold CEO Luke Alexander, and you've been watching Global One Media Stocks to Watch. I'm Michael Suedo.